Well, good morning, Brad. It's lovely to be with you all once again, although we are very distant from one another. But it looks as if the government regulation is changing. So hopefully soon we shall be able to get together in our ecclesias. In our reading in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 13, it said there, "Then they were brought unto him that was children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer, little children, and forbid them not to come unto me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven." Jesus had already talked to his disciples about being like little children in the previous chapter, Matthew chapter 18, when they'd been asking about who should be greatest in the kingdom. In Matthew 18 verse 1 it says, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of God?" Kingdom of heaven, rather. And Jesus called a little child unto him, perhaps one of the disciples' children, and set him in the midst of them. And he said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." It was a very revealing question and a very revealing answer to their question of who should be the greatest in the kingdom. And Jesus' answer was to set a child in front of them and tell them unless they became as this little child, they would not get into the kingdom at all. The fact that they had asked this question showed that they had no idea at all what the kingdom of heaven was like. Unless they turned, they were going in completely the wrong direction. If we are aiming at the fulfillment of personal ambition, the acquisition of power, the enjoyment of personal prestige, the exaltation of self, we are aiming completely the opposite to our Father's kingdom. The kingdom qualities are a complete forgetting of self, spending our life fulfilling our Father's word, which was shown to us by Jesus in his life, walking in the opposite direction of what I want. In 1 Samuel, we have the difference of the way of Saul, that is, the outward appearance, not following God's command, convincing himself that doing what he thought was right was doing God's will, jealous and furious over those who were right in the Lord's sight. And the opposite was David, a humble shepherd boy, trusting in the Lord, who would help him fight his battles with the word and character of God in his heart and mind. As we can read in about him in Psalms, caring, feeding, leading, like a good shepherd. As God said in Psalm 78, verse 70, "He chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes, great with young. He brought him to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel his heritage. So he, David, fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands." The question is, are we a soul or are we a David? In our reading today in 2 Samuel chapter 2 and at verse 1, it says there, "And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said, go up. David said, whither shall I go? And he said, unto Hebron. So David went up thither, and his two wives also, Ahinoam the Jezreelite, and his men with him. And the men of Judah came, verse 4, and they anointed David king over Judah. And they told David, saying, but the men of Jabesh-Gilead were those that buried Saul. Now, verse 5, and David sent messengers unto the men of Jabesh-Gilead and said unto them, blessed be ye of the Lord, that ye showed this kindness, that ye looked at Saul, and have buried him, even though Saul had pursued him, and tried so many times to kill him. Yet, this is David's attitude. And verse 20, verse 6, and now the Lord show kindness unto you, and I also will requite you with kindness, because ye have done this thing. Therefore now let your hands be strengthened and be valiant. For your master Saul is dead, those of the house of Judah have anointed me king over them." So even David had been anointed by Samuel to be king, his first thought in this chapter in verse 1 was to inquire of the Lord which tribe he should go for, or where he should go for. And when God told him to go up to the cities of Judah, he inquired again, which city? The Lord said, Hebron. He was determined to do whatever was right in the eyes of the Lord, and to inquire of the Lord. And this is how and why we read God's word, and how and why we pray, that we might do everything right in our Father's sight. Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel that we are reading, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Again in Matthew 5, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, that he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and good, and send us rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward of you? Do not even the publicans the same? Again in chapter 6, but when ye pray, don't use vain repetitions as a heathen do, but I think they should be heard by their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. And our prayer should be like that, realizing that God knows before we even start thinking about praying what things we need of. But there are many lovely characteristics in a child. The power to wonder, the power to forgive and forget, the willingness to learn, the willingness to do. We read in 1 John chapter 3, the first letter of John chapter 3, and at verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall be him as he is. What's our first thought when we read this. Being sons of God. Is it sitting on thrones? Having all we could dream of? Of having unimaginable pleasures? Or is it, we shall be like him, our Lord Jesus? Not my will, thine be done. A child of God, first of all, shows humility. Doesn't push himself forward. Wishes to fade into the background. Obscurity, not prominence. It's only when a child grows up, initiated into a competitive world, with its fierce struggle for first place, that the instinct of humility is left behind. And then there's dependence. To a child, a state of dependence on its parents comes completely natural. Never thinking he can face life by himself. Dependent on those who love and care for him. If we can accept care and dependence on our Father rather than on ourselves, it will give us a new strength and the peace of God. And then there's trust. A child accepts that all its needs will be met by its parents. The food for clothing, a home to live in, warmth, shelter, a welcome waiting them at home. And when they are on a journey, never doubt it, that our Father will bring us safely there. Our Lord, after his first visit to Jerusalem at 12 years old, in Luke chapter 2, verse 51, he'd been in the temple, it says, and he went down with Mary and Joseph and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And at 30 years old, when he committed his life to fulfilling his Father's word as the Savior of the world, he was baptized to confirm that. In Matthew chapter 3, in verse 13, it says, he comes to Galilee to John to baptize, but John forbids him, saying, come meet to be baptized of thee, and promise thou to me. And Jesus answered in verse 15, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. That's what he was doing, fulfilling all the righteousness of God. And so John suffered him. And when he was baptized, he went straightway up out of the water. And all the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting upon him, and a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He was still the Son of God, trusting completely in his Father, intent on doing his Father's will. This is what baptism meant to Jesus. Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. What did our baptism mean to us? What does it mean to us now? Are we born from above and committed to it with our whole being? But in Mark chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, immediately the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. And there he was tempted 40 days of Satan and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. We too have trials, tests, problems, illnesses. But Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14 says, For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For he took not on him the nature of angels, but the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, it behoved him to give life unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people, praying that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. He was tempted throughout his life to do things his own way. But always it was, not my ways, not my deeds, not my words, not my thoughts, my Father's, not my will, but thine be done. And that should be the motto for our lives. Not my will, but thine be done. Finally, the beloved disciple John writes in the first letter of John, chapter 4, and at verse 4, ye are of God, little children, to the believers, the children of our Father, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, but he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, just as God has loved us. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God, has intimate knowledge of the mind of God, which is not like our mind, which is higher than the heavens compared to ours. In this, he that loveth not, verse 8, knoweth not God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So our life should be lived through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what the emblems are showing us, that we left our life in the waters of baptism. We left self in the waters of baptism. And that we are now committed to doing things our Father's way. Verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the petition, the mercy seat, the atonement for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No man hath seen God. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. And so we remember our Lord in bread and in wine.